All right, welcome to Ramble on, the official podcast of the absolutely unofficial television show.
Well, it's becoming the official feature.
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, and I want people to understand, which I try to explain, this business is not easy. And that being said, I've been on this journey. I've seen these things that can take years. Some of them die a sad, quiet death.
The project or the people involved?
Everything.
Oh.
I mean, there's projects where people die while they're going on. I mean, I had a script that I wrote. My dog is chewing on. We're at Action Park Media, by the way, which we'll get into that in a little bit. But we're at Action Park Media. My dog is chewing on one of the desks here.
This is an amazing sight, by the way, from my side.
You know, I mentioned this before, but one of the first scripts I wrote, a very hot young producer had read it and said it was absolutely amazing and he was going to get it made. And he ended up in a car accident where he killed somebody and he ended up in jail. And that script,
oh, dear God.
That script went on, yeah, that script went on the pine. The worst part of the story is obviously not my script not getting made, but the poor guy who died in the car accident. But
what project was that?
This is called Limelight, and it was something I did with David Schwimmer. We ended up ultimately selling it to Miramax back in the day, and it was like Get Him to the Greek, long before Get Him to the Greek. And it was these four guys who pretended to be an English rock band that were local New York guys. And it was kind of like the Entourage guys if they put on British accents and pretended to be a rock band. So it was a funny script. I haven't looked at it in 30 years. But it's still sitting in my drawer, along with other scripts.
It never got made.
Yeah. But yesterday I showed the trailer to Ramble On to a music executive who, by the way, I just need you to, two things are happening. Jeremy's sending me the trailer with alternate music, but also I've spoken to everybody now.
Do we want to talk about that part for a second? Because I know on our last podcast episode, we were discussing releasing the trailer and
yeah,
we didn't.
But I've spoken to, well, you were worried that we would get sued. I've spoken to everybody, including people in the music business. Nobody's suing us. There's no monetary that we're going to make. It will get pulled down, whether it's 2 hours later,
right,
24
it'll just get
hours
pulled
later,
down.
It will get pulled down, which obviously is not ideal, but we're not getting sued as long as we're not profiting off of other people's music. So
maybe we could just have people send us requests and we can just direct message them the trailer so they can just watch it.
Yeah, you do that.
And pass that around.
Because I've been getting enough direct messages lately, which anyone who's trying to direct message me, I've turned it off because... you know, there's some things on the internet that are leading people to talk to me as if I have anything to do with anything that's going on. But but anyway, so the trailer, I think, whatever, we put it out or we don't. As far as the script, I'm, you know, I kept going on it. You read two scenes, which I love, which are Charlie and Martin Sheen, which is, you know, really like a big focus. If there's a movie, that's a big focus of the movie.
Because
the relationship between those two and the pilot, I think everybody just loves it. And,
yeah, that was magic.
And we want to see it. So I spoke to our producer today who, you know, just for behind the scenes people, our producer who's going through a lot of stuff in his life with his wife who's ill, and I'm wishing him the best.
Yes.
He probably has put more hours into this show than anyone, including me. And that's what goes on when you have a really great producer behind the scenes who fights and works for free and doesn't expect and hope that great things come of it, but doesn't expect the things that some of the entitled above the line people often feel. And we've talked about that hack writer that I got us involved with on this show who worked for, honestly, probably put 60 hours into this show tops.
How could it even been that much?
Yeah. So, and you know, but it is the world of this business where people at the top just think they are so entitled, and at times they are. At times there are actors who are so vital and so awesome, but there's so many people working so much harder behind the scenes. And, you know, I still talk to Dave Perkel. I mean, I talk to him as a friend there all the time anyway, but we still talk about this show constantly.
Yeah.
And Dave was paid whatever rate a cinematographer is paid for his 20 days of working. But he's, A, acted as a producer, and B, he's, you know, just been so much more. So, you know, I know our three guys, if we ever get this thing going, will be involved in some type of ownership of whatever it is, which doesn't sound great at the moment. But I still, I don't know what to say. We have a great, great 30 minutes, and we have 75, 80 pages of a great feature script right now. So The question is
well, you started to say you showed it to the trailer to somebody over the
weekend. Yeah, I showed it to a big music executive who just freaked over it and cannot believe that this isn't on the air and doesn't understand it. I also showed it to Frank Luntz yesterday. Who do you know who Frank is?
He's the Republican strategist, pollster kind of guy, right?
I don't think he's a Republican. I think he's a pollster, but, you know, Frank is on TV all the time, whether it's CNN or Fox. He was the only person in the media that said Donald Trump was going to win the presidency in 2016, not because he was necessarily rooting for it, but because the research he did showed him that he was going to win while everybody said that was not possible. So I had lunch with him yesterday, and he was always a huge Entourage fan. He was actually in the Entourage movie. And he watched the trailer and is like, there's nothing like this on TV. Like, how is this not on? And I don't have an explanation for it. I just don't. I don't have an explanation for it. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know if we want to get into the speculation of process of it. I certainly have my own opinions of why it's not on. I mean, there's...
What are they?
Well, my opinions of it are a lot of things. Today, merit and reason are not virtues that are appreciated like they once were. At its core, if you look at a lot of things that we value in our society, athletics is about the closest you can still come to a meritocracy. You can either do it or you can't, and people see through you when you can't, and eventually you burn out and you don't stay, versus people who are propped up and given opportunities regardless of actual talent or capability or education or experience, simply because they fill some sort of format that people want. You know, for us, you know, I was thinking about it on the way over here. For people who've lived long enough, and I think you and I fall into that category at this point because we've probably been alive for at least as long as half of the people on Earth, the reality is that there's a season for everything. There's times when things are going very well for people, and there are times that they're not going very well for those exact same people. Just because one group of people is being looked at in a certain way for at a certain period doesn't mean it's always going to be that way. And the truth is that I think a lot of people in this business are fearful, just like everybody in life is. They're fearful that they might receive scorn from their family, scorn from their friends, shame from their coworkers, shame from their community. Fear of losing their job.
You're being a little abstract, though. I don't.
Well,
totally
the abstractness is a show written by an older white guy, starring white people, with a splash of color in it.
Charlie Sheen is Hispanic.
Well, he's not deemed Hispanic in the court of public opinion. I don't think anybody looks at Charlie Sheen and goes, "Oh yeah, he's Hispanic." That's not because he isn't. It's just because that's a people's perception. Because perception is what's more valid today than what reality is. And I would rather watch something good, whether it's full of people who are East Indian or Jewish or African-American or African or Russian. I just want to see good either educational content or entertainment. And I don't care what it's about or what the background is or who the people are or what their color of their faces are. But the people who are making decisions aren't thinking that way, I think. I think they're thinking, oh, my God, if we don't do this, I won't get my promotion or I might lose my job or what will people say?
Do you think the show has educational value?
I do.
Anyway.
I do think that. You know why I think that?
Yeah.
Because it is taken from a slice of life of people who have been through some life.
Yeah.
I have children, you have children. You have a very young child at this point as well. But my children are basically mid-teenagers to early 20s. They don't know everything. They think they do. They act like they do. But they don't. And people learn from other people's experiences. And when you hear about conversations, you come to realize, you know, one of the things that's in our pilot is, and like you hinted on it, is this awesome scene between an 80-plus-year-old father and a 55-year-old son. You never stop worrying about your children. That's a lesson that people have to learn. People who are 15 think, oh, in just 3 more years, I'll be rid of my parents and they can't tell me what to do. And the reality is that they will come to find, no, I'm going to always rely on my parents. I'm going to always wonder what could have been. I'm going to always hope that that relationship is something that's positive. Nobody hopes that they have a bad relationship with their parents. So the reality is that when you can see that a parent never stops caring for their child no matter what they've been through. And Charlie Sheen in our show has been through what he's been through in real life. That's educational. That's informative. So for it to not be on the air, I think there's lots of reasons for it. I don't think any of them are good reasons. But
I
think there are lots of reasons.
I don't want anyone to take educational as meaning it's preachy or anything like that.
No.
But I don't know if I stand by that's the reason it's not, or that they're scared that Charlie's a wild card and they don't necessarily want to get in business with him, or Entourage has some stain to it that somehow, which is insane. And by the way, everything is selling to Netflix from HBO except Entourage at this moment. And it's not because Netflix won't buy it. I don't know what the reason is, but it's very annoying that Ballers and Sex and the City are, because I would love us to get on Netflix because I know how much it could blow up the show and be bigger. As it's done with Suits, which, you know, I think I mentioned the last time on the podcast, but the Suits guy sold Suits saying it's Entourage on Wall Street. That's how he sold it. So he was a fan of the show as well. But anyway, all that being said, we have
a show with Meghan Markle.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All that being said, we haven't given up, and I have 75-80 pages. I have the team ready to go to make this a feature if that's what we decide to do. I had a call with a manager who loved it this week, who still thinks that we can turn this into a TV show. So I don't know, but that's where we're at. But
yeah, you and I spoke over the weekend. I had been traveling for most of the start of this year, just getting back on Wednesday, which, by the way, we can talk a little bit about that because that was some interesting travel.
Yeah, both of those travels, I want to talk about both of those. But first, I want to talk about just one thing, get out of the way, because I'm getting so many DMs that, you know, Kevin Connolly has some stuff going on the internet, which people are demanding that I comment about as if I'm somehow related to Kevin or responsible for anything that he's dealing with. All I will say is I've never had a monetary problem in my life with Kevin. He's always been generous with money, and any fights we have had are basically, you know, like any brothers fight about, which is kind of how people speak to each other. So I've never had any issue about money with Kevin, but that being said, I'm not going to comment on what's going on. But what I will comment on is all of the people that have gotten on the victory page. I spent a lot of time trying to make sure our reviews were good on the Apple page, and now some jerk off again will go there right now and write a bad review. But, you know, there are now all these bad reviews that we disappeared and we did this and we owe that. And then people write, Doug said he owes nothing to anybody. It's a slap in the face. So let me be as crystal clear as I can. I did the victory podcast with a handshake for nothing. It was not about money. To be honest with you, the real reason I wanted to do it is because I wanted the world to get to see a different side of me than what was being portrayed by a lot of the media in who I am based on the writing in Entourage, which, again, couldn't be prouder of the writing on Entourage, but it's writing. It's not, you know, it's not a reflection of anything except for something that I hoped would entertain people. But I thought it was a chance to show a different side of myself, and then I ultimately found that I love doing podcasting, and I enjoy doing it with Kevin and Kevin. And we had a good time and it was fun. Why did I decide to stop doing it? We couldn't seem to get on a regular schedule. I really enjoyed these live shows. Nobody else seemed to care as much as I did. We were supposed to be in Australia doing a live show, which Jeremy Piven is doing right now. And I've been trying to get to Australia for 30 years. So when I get a call that we can go to Australia, get paid for it, go to the Australian Open and see Australia for a week, you know, I want to do that. Now, again, we're all in different phases of our life and we all have different things going on. So they apparently, you know, were busy and couldn't make that happen. But so I just said, you know, unless we can get on a regular schedule and do it, I don't want to do it because I put too much time into it. So and also, like, you know, as far as the Instagram page, I spent 2 years building this page up, which we were at 100,000 at one point. We now dropped to like 93,000, and I keep getting just nasty messages from people that we owe somebody something. So
are the nasty messages just people being upset that they enjoyed what you were doing and it's disappeared?
Yeah, but they say it in harsher terms, and I just want to say that you know, I think most people who have talk to me on Instagram know that I'm pretty responsive and I try to respond to as many people as I can, although I have shut off my DMs on Instagram because the amount of nasty shit that I've gotten over the last month is just, it's a waste of my time and energy. Yeah. But I will say this, I appreciate everyone that listens to the podcast, everyone that watched the show and still watches the show. And you know, I made a couple of videos on Instagram saying we weren't, you know, I wasn't doing it anymore. As far as I knew, Kevin and Kevin were going to keep doing it. And we're in Action Park Media right now. We're in Kevin's offices. So there are no problems with me, Kevin, and Kevin. There are zero problems with that. You know, I just either, to me, you either go all in or you don't. But so to anybody who's disappointed, I appreciate that you listened. And
well, you probably share them the disappointment, right? You wouldn't mind it if it kept going.
Oh, I would love to do it like in a real way.
If you could deliver the best product possible.
If we can deliver a really great product, if everyone would promote it, if we could get on the road and do those live shows, because that was, you know, to me, when we did the Paramount Theater in Long Island in front of 1,000 people, and, you know, it was great.
Yeah.
It was great. And it was fun, and it was nostalgic, and it was a good chance to go home. So I enjoy all of that, but I don't enjoy, you know, 3-month breaks, and then I don't know if we're coming back, and then, you know, we're not promoting it, and we're not doing that. I just think it becomes kind of a waste of energy. And
yeah, no, I mean, if I could say one thing about you, and I can't, that's not me saying something opposite about the other two people involved, but you like to do things the right way. You like to do them all in. You like to dive in, and if you're not going to, then it's sort of a waste of time, because you see it as, well, I don't want my name associated with something that's not done the right way.
Yeah, I mean, that's I check out. And, right. And, you know, it's kind of with the feature, I've kind of a little bit checked out on it, just because I haven't felt as a group that everyone wants to jump in. And I understand people are disappointed that we're not, like, on the air in season 2 right now, which we should be, but we're not. And you either keep grinding away, and again, on Entourage, the amount of times HBO said, no, we don't like this, and I could have just walked away. And I just kept going and going and going. And when I see a possibility of something, I do that. The difference with this now is we are set with a bunch of people, and they all have to be as excited as I am to be on board of it, to move it forward in a feature manner. You know, obviously,
have you gotten any indication that that's not the case?
No, I just haven't gotten any indication that anyone's like, what's going on? Why aren't we shooting?
So absent anything, you're taking that as a lack of interest.
Again, it hasn't inspired me to go, you know, run around and kill myself to do it. And that's not, you know, making excuses. I've always said this to everybody, you know, you put me on a deadline, I will write and I will get things done. You don't, like any ADD fucking unfocused idiot, I can waste day after day, and I'm very happy to go play pickleball and go hang out with my baby or do whatever. Now, for most writers out there who I know a lot go through the same thing, you can't do that when you're 20 and you don't have any money. I fortunately have enough money that I don't have to go fight every day the battles that I was fighting 15, 20 years ago. So, but that also leads to a lack of drive of it. But, you know, this is a very different thing, because we got a half an hour of a great product. Yep. I believe it could be the first act of a movie.
Yep.
But, you know, it's complicated to turn a 10-episode arc into a 90-minute movie. It's complicated.
Yeah, no, there's definitely things to work out.
You know, so, but that being said, of course it can be done, and the more I feel, you know, I'm a group person. This is a group thing, and I said this to you a million times when we started this. I always wished I was a solo artist, because what a great thing. You're Taylor Swift, who I've spoken about this before, kind of inspired me to do this show in the first place when I saw her do Folklore by herself during COVID. She sent the songs to other musical artists in other places, and they made that album that won a Grammy with no one in the same room. But it was all her going, I'm doing this, and I'll bring you, and I'll bring you, and if you don't want to be part of it, I'll find somebody else. But when you make a film, when you make a TV show, there are many, many people involved. And when you have a cast, they become irreplaceable to some extent, and that's what you have, and you need to have them all on board. And, you know, if they are, they are, and if they're not, they're not. So,
well, I mean, I'm not suggesting anything, but characters die often. Shows, well,
you
know,
David Chase used to, like, you gave him a problem.
Yeah, piss me off and you're out, buddy. Look at this character get cancer.
You gave him a problem, and David Chase would whack you on the show.
Soprano.
And, you know, my problem was always I was so close with my cast, and you know, we were more friends than this. They complain about stuff, and I'd fucking appease them. And, you know, I kind of, you know, as you know, I have two gears. I'm either a people pleaser, or I'm a violently angry lunatic. So it's really like,
I haven't seen all one of those.
You know, so you got to find me on the right day. But if you get me in the right place,
you can guess which one I have not seen.
If you get me in the right place, I'll kill for you, and I'll make sure that we get it to the best place where everybody's as satisfied as possible. But
yeah.
You know, you do want, when you're in a group thing, you do want to feel like everybody's on board and everybody's doing it. But anyway, that being said, I have said this before. If we put this fucking trailer on the internet and people go, this sucks, it'll make us all go, yeah, you know
it,
what?
Nobody's going to say it sucks. Everybody says it's great because it is great. So
I'm just saying, if they all say it's great, it'll start to move some needle. I'm not saying that's going to go get us, HBO to go do 75 episodes. But we know we can get the money to make this feature. It's not even a maybe. And if you look at the shit that gets put on Netflix and Amazon, these little crappy independent movies, we know this can be significantly better than 99.9% of that stuff. So I'm looking for a little inspiration.
That's here's the inspiration coming from me. And I believe this. In this project from the very beginning, when we talked about it, there wasn't even a script, and I had greenlit it from a financial perspective before that even existed, because you and I had been talking about it for close to probably 2 years before it ever happened.
Yeah.
And nothing has made me believe in it less. So since we have moved it this far so far...
Do you still have money?
I'm running out, so maybe we could get on that as inspiration. I've already put up the money to get this far, and I want to see it not just for the financial reasons, but for all the reasons that I said before. It's good. Yeah. It's got incredible entertainment value. I think it's got life lessons in there. It's not preachy in that way. It's just, I think it's a very good, it's not only entertaining, but it's feel good. It's got a spiritual sense to it. And I want to see that reach as many people as possible.
Can we stick this trailer online in the next fucking week?
Well, the answer is
with the music
the
or without.
I don't know. Well, you've now informed me that you've got somebody working on alternate music. So let's get that resolved as quickly as possible, and then we'll make our decision about which version goes up. But yes, I definitely want to try and show as many people as possible. But you and I spoke over the weekend. The reason why we're in the podcast studio today is because we spoke about that and we wanted to give people an update about it. Yeah. You're committed to getting this feature version of the script done as quickly as possible. And I am committed to trying to move forward.
So I tell you what, I'll tell you what I need that would get me very excited is to lock the cast down with deals so I know they're in and make a start date. When I have that, I promise you we'll have a finished script that's as good as the first 30 minutes, if not better. Also, you know, more talk about the show, but I went on this trip to Necker Island. If anyone knows what that is, it's Richard Branson's private island, which they had a pickleball forum, which was people from all over the pickleball world and celebrities and influencers, Drew Brees, Tiffany Haddish, some great musicians, and people talking about pickleball and playing pickleball.
Which musicians were there?
I don't know anyone. Morgan Evans was there, who's an awesome country music singer.
Okay.
It's embarrassing to say Barnes Courtney or Courtney Barnes, who's fucking awesome. But
no idea.
I'm not sure if it's Barnes Courtney or Courtney Barnes, but everybody should check them out. And Rachel Platt, I think is how you pronounce it, but now you put me on the spot with the names. But anyway, they were fucking amazing, all of them. But this trip was so great, and to see where the pickleball world has landed. I mean, the old owner of the San Diego Padres was there, and I played with Drew Brees, and I wanted to tell
this
story.
Ray Kroc's old team?
So one guy said on the internet, just come back and do a podcast. We'll even listen to you talk about pickleball. And I know there's some people who like to say I speak too much or I talk about myself too much, whatever the fuck it is. I mean, I don't know what else you're supposed to do on a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, you can either talk about the world around you or the world within you.
But this is what we do. But anyway, this trip, so I play Drew Brees. It's doubles game. Caitlin Kerr, who's a pro female pickleball player, me and this guy Drew, we play Drew and Caitlin. And, I think we beat him like 6 out of 7 games, which, you know, again.
That had to be hard for a Super Bowl champ.
So after the game is over, Drew is pacing on the sidelines, you know, and I'm like, yo, Drew, what's up? You okay? And he goes, I'm visualizing. And he's dead serious, by the way. And I go, what are you visualizing? And he said, visualizing all the things I did wrong and how I'm going to correct them all tomorrow and how we're going to win. And I said, Drew, I need to tell you. And I mean this sincerely to anyone listening. As much as like getting an Emmy nomination or a Golden Globe nomination, this was one of the best feelings of my life because, and I said it to him, I go, Drew, I'm 56. I never really played any significant organized sport. I made you fucking visualize. I made one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL.
Realize all his mistakes.
Realize his mistakes. Visualize his mistakes. He's seeing me in his sleep. Anyway, but we had a great time, and I beat him again the next day. I'm sorry to say. But anyway, he's great. But I also wanted to add about pickleball, which is just a quick thing, and hopefully you mindless morons who made fun of me for years when I talked about this sport have now seen where this has gone and how far it's come and where it is going. But the one thing I will say about it, like baseball when they introduced an aluminum bat, or tennis when the wood racket went to carbon fiber or whatever the hell it is, where, you know, tennis became a serve and volley game and really a serve game. And guys who could serve 150 miles an hour were winning matches that if they were playing with a wood racket, they probably never would have. And my point to this is that now the paddles and pickleball are getting so good and so much closer to the way a tennis ball hits that any really good tennis player, which 4 years ago I could play with the best tennis players in the world and beat them at least at the beginning. Now they walk on the court and almost instantaneously
they control the pace.
They're
and direction.
Very good. So I'm probably going to be retired from pickleball soon, even though I'm playing with like three pros today. Three pro
really?
Tennis. I'm playing with Justin Gimelstob today, Sam Querrey,
and
my buddy Wes Burrows, who he wasn't quite a pro, which was funny because I said
had an almost pickleball story this weekend.
Almost pickleball?
So I was out in the desert for the weekend for a good friend's birthday party. And one of the activities that we did during the day, the off day on Saturday, was there was a little sort of mini pickleball tournament. And I don't know, there were eight courts, so 32 people playing. As you know, I've played pickleball, but I don't play it very often. I certainly don't play it like you do. I've played it a dozen times. But on court one, the way the format was, you would start on court eight and you would work your way up to court one. If you kept winning, you would move up and you would then have to be forced to switch partners. So you couldn't play with the same person and get in a groove. So I started on court eight, and court one was Bill Gates. And I made it my mission that I'm getting to court one to play Bill Gates. And I proceeded to move for an hour and 45 minutes all the way from court eight to court one. And then they called lunch and ended the tournament. So my almost pickleball story was I was either going to be playing with him or against him.
But your subtle underlying tone of this pickleball story is how good your natural game is playing only 12
times. No, I mean, here I would contribute to this. I do play a little bit of tennis, so I have a little bit of racket skills. I would attribute it much more to other people's lack of experience in any of those endeavors versus
either way,
anything
I would,
else.
Either
but
way
I was
I
working. I visualized getting to court one, and I got there, and then they killed it.
I want to see on the pickleball court. And then I want to hear quickly before I go to my pickleball game. You were in Turkey for tennis, which we don't need to get into tennis, but your son's a great tennis player and was playing tennis. But more importantly, I told you as a joke, I said, Teddy, you going to get your hair done when you were going to Turkey?
Yeah, as we were about to take off, you sent me a text. I was like, hey, man, I'll talk to you from Turkey when I get there. And you were like, are you really going for tennis or are you getting a hair transplant? And then we hung up and I didn't get an answer for the
you
next
really,
15
you
hours.
You just thought it was a stupid joke. You didn't
know
what was happening.
I didn't have any frame of reference about hair transplants and the country of Turkey at
so
all.
So what happened when you got there?
So, well, for the first couple of weeks, we were in the very southern part of Turkey at this tennis tournament on the Mediterranean there. And so we were a bit sort of remote. We weren't sort of in the city. But at the end of the trip, we went to Istanbul, which, by the way, if you haven't been, it should be a bucket list item for everybody. Istanbul is one of the most amazing places on
Earth. I've been there.
But I get there, and the first hour or so, we landed around lunchtime, so
I landed in Istanbul, by the way, the president of Turkey, which was, I guess this was 6-7 years ago, said that all Jews must apologize for something.
Well, I just want you to know, I went to Turkey. I didn't apologize to anybody. Yeah. But we get there, we go to lunch right away after dropping our bags at the hotel, and I'm seeing this guy at this outdoor cafe that we're about to go sit down, and he is completely wrapped, completely around his entire head, with the old, you know, sort of blood-stained bandages. Yeah. And I'm like, God, how comfortable he looks after this massive car crash he was in, just sitting having lunch. And I didn't mention anything. I just kind of noticed it. And then 2 minutes later, I saw another person. And one of the coaches that we were traveling with for this event, he goes, "Oh, it's starting already." And I was like, "What?" And he goes, "All these hair transplant, these guys, these middle-aged men." And I'm like, "Oh," and I connected finally back to the text that you had sent weeks earlier.
So everyone understands, Turkey
Everybody
is the place.
Is walking around.
If you want an inexpensive hair transplant, people go to Turkey. Now, by the way, I want to be very clear. I have no idea if that's a smart move or not.
Yeah.
I just know that a lot of people do it.
I mean, I'm telling you, I probably was seeing 50 to 100 people per day walking around. It was almost like, you know, back in the days when I used to play golf, we used to go on golf trips. People would go to Bandon Dunes or Arizona or Scotland or whatever they would be doing as a group of guys. This was like a group of guys. There would be like 6 or 8 guys all walking and drinking on the street and hanging out. And they'd all be wrapped in these blood-soaked bandages.
Oh, terrible.
They all go together. But what our guide had told us was, and I don't know anything about it because I haven't looked into it myself, but hair transplants in the U.S. can cost anywhere from $7,000 to $50,000, depending on who you're going to and what you're getting done.
Yeah.
And he had said people come here because, including the stay, your hotel for the 5 or 7 days you're going to do this after you get the transplant done, the transplant and the hotel for like $2,500 for like a week vacation. So that's why people choose it.
Did
and people
Jews
were
get
coming
any
from all over.
Huh? Do you give anything more to Jews who go to Turkey? I mean,
no, I don't. I don't. Maybe. Maybe they install a yarmulke permanently.
Exactly, probably. Swastika.
You can ask what you're going to ask
for. Swastika inside your scalp that you never noticed till you're dead.
I really don't. Yeah, like a chia.
Yeah.
But I could not believe the extent. And apparently it goes, there are 3 categories that people go to Turkey for. Hair transplants, cosmetic dentistry, and nose jobs. So you could get the trifecta.
Did you do anything? No teeth?
Nothing? No, I did none of those things. We walked around, we saw amazing sights, and chopped at the Grand Bazaar and ate some awesome food.
What else can we talk about? Any shows you're watching, or we just wrap this up?
So I'm very proud of this statement. Now, I haven't finished it entirely, but because I was on this trip and away from American television for a month, I have been trying to watch Peaky Blinders. Mm. When did that show come out? 15 years ago?
Probably.
Every single time I would try, I could not get past the Cockney accents. And by 20 minutes in, I was either asleep or I was so exhausted or annoyed, I just couldn't do it. And then, of course, Netflix, it went on Netflix, and then it became, oh, now you could watch with subtitles and things like that. And I just could never get back to it. So I downloaded the entire series for my trip. I'm finishing season 5 right now.
It's amazing.
And it's great if you haven't seen it.
They're doing the movie. And he's doing the
movie. Oh, really?
Yeah, and now... How do you pronounce it? Cillian or Chillian?
I don't know. Does anybody know? Is it Cillian or Chillian? Guys in the booth who are there, maybe?
Scotty can't talk. He doesn't have a mic, but the budgets are getting cut on his podcast here.
But he... of course, I'm one of the only people who has first seen Oppenheimer and now seen Peaky Blinders in reverse.
How sick is he?
I can see why somebody chooses this guy. He is awesome.
He's a genius.
He can inhabit any character. Yeah. He is, I mean, in Peaky Blinders, he is chilling. He is relatable. Yeah. He is detestable.
Women are obsessed with him.
He is amazing. Yeah. And so anybody who can portray a character with that is great. And of course, Oppenheimer was great also, if you saw it.
I'm glad you got some good things.
So I got that a little bit.
I was watching
so that
Love
was
is Blind. That's the best I've done. Which, by the way, it's honestly, it's good stuff. It really is.
I heard that recently it's lost its way.
No,
is that true?
No.
No, you stand by the show.
It's
still yours.
Fantastic.
You coerced me to watch a season.
Watch
of
this
it
season. I guarantee
COVID.
You. Like the same.
I've
thing
never gone back to it.
You'll
after.
You'll watch it in 2 days. Guaranteed. It's excellent.
And,
I mean the standout thing, which you got to watch. I mean, it's Love is Blind. So you're behind a block wall. You're behind
yeah, you
a
don't
wall
see the person.
So
you're
not
get
supposed
to know
to
them.
You're not supposed to. Looks are not supposed to be a matter. But this girl, she goes, does anyone ever tell you you look like a celebrity? That's how she starts with the guy, which, okay. And the guy's like, I don't know, not really. You? She's like, well, some people do. Okay, now if someone tells you you look like a celebrity, obviously they're giving you a lot of the things. So what do you say? Okay, a lot of people tell everybody they look like some celebrity, but when you say this behind a wall and a guy is enjoying your company and she goes, I don't know his name. She's married to Machine Gun Kelly. And the guy goes,
Megan Fox?
You look like Megan Fox. And by the way, that was the other, he's literally busted out a ring. He's like, will you marry me?
He hasn't even completed the show yet.
And then they come out behind the wall and like the first thing they get.
Nothing but
like,
disappointment.
You kind of lied to me.
But which, I mean, by the way, not, that's that. I think that's what a lot of people who are dating via the app, you know, route now, they all say, right? Like,
yeah, but there's
people
a picture.
Are getting pictures. Yeah, no, but at least people are sending fake pictures, and they're getting there and going, "Oh my god!"
People enhance their pictures. People, in, but when you're just a voice, I'm like, well, people, you know, people tell me I look like Brad Pitt. You know, behind a fucking wall, I think it might change how people continue to communicate with you for the rest of the day. So anyway, but it's really good, and it's worth your time. So I haven't watched anything like of any value, like artistically. I don't even watch anything anymore. My focus is so short. My attention span is so limited. I sit on fucking Twitter and have people yelling at me all day that I have to answer for other punishment. People.
Please like, turn off your phone and just finish writing the script. Like so someone
I demand you respond for Kevin Connolly. Okay. So again, before in closing, I want to say, I've never had any issues business-wise with Kevin Connolly in my life. We don't really do business together. We've always worked together in peace. We've always fought like fucking brothers over stupid shit. We've never had a monetary issue in our lives. And I don't want to be quoted as I'm not involved in anything. I don't work for this business. I don't work for this business. I'm doing this right now. This is also free, by the way. But that's not because anyone's ripping me off.
No, it's
because
I decided
to drive here because I enjoy talking and I like the fucking 185 people who listened to this. But, and I did last thing on Victory. Victory was, we love the fans, and I appreciate every single person except you cocksuckers who write these nasty fucking messages on Apple reviews. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, I think...
Why do you need to do this when you know it hurts my soul? When you know how much fucking time I wasted trying to get people to leave goddamn good reviews.
They want you to do they want you to do the show, but they're basically scorning and shaming you into doing it.
That's what women have done to me my whole life. You know, they tell me how awful familiar. I am. Yeah, it feels very familiar.
Wait, speaking of women, so I haven't seen the show, but maybe you have. And I don't know if it was written by Mike White or not. This show, One Day. Have you heard about
this? Never heard of it.
So apparently it's set in England. Perhaps it's meeting somebody from London, meeting somebody from the northern part of England. And they either form a relationship, but they meet every year.
I don't even want to hear about it.
One day.
Did you watch it?
I have not seen it, but I know we're big fans of White Lotus. One of the guys is from White Lotus.
But allegedly Mike White wrote it?
I don't know if he did it. That's why I was asking.
I'm going to check it out. I like the premise, and I love Mike White. He's a fucking genius. And,
So if anybody has seen it,
just
let us know if it's worth it.
On sound, it just sounded a little like, which I love, is Before Sunrise.
Was that Ethan Hawke?
Ethan Hawke and, Jesus, I can't even remember her name, but there's three of them. There were three. It was, I think Linklater did that movie, which is amazing. By the way, all three of those I love, and everybody should watch them if you haven't. Before Sunrise, After Sunrise, whatever the fuck.
The morning after.
It's kind of like that in Sideways.
What the is day
that?
After.
The, what, the day after tomorrow? You mean yesterday?
You mean yesterday?
So, anyway, in closing, it's weird because it's not that Scotty, beefy Scotty, head of APM muscle over there. It's weird that he doesn't have a mic or he hasn't even looked over, so I have no idea if he's sleeping in the booth right now.
I think he's playing solitaire.
Yeah, but hopefully this was mildly entertaining. Again, I get nothing out of this except for joy, and I want nothing from any of you except for respect. That's it. Like, that's it. You don't have to like me. Just respect the fact that I'm coming here for free, for nothing, to try to respond to many people who wrote very harsh, nasty things to me.
So that's what this was? This was you getting me in here so you could respond to those naysayers?
Yeah. By the way, how good is my puppy dog here?
I mean, so far, it's been pretty good.
So
I mean,
far.
I can
We've
see the teeth marks on the bottom of the table, but that's pretty cool.
So that's the last thing I'll say, which I have the video for if we ever do a video. Yesterday, he was sick for a few days, and I was very worried about him, but apparently he lost weight. So yesterday, he walked right through my gate, which he could not fit a week ago. Walked right through my gate, and I hear some
guy chasing a jogger
screaming, no, no. out. Now, this dog, I know he's a German Shepherd. He's 34 pounds. He's a teddy bear. This person was screaming, I thought my dog got hit by a car, that someone was yelling like this. And I get outside. This guy is holding his Bichon or whatever the fuck it was, like up, like this dog is trying to
Oh, the guy
him.
Had a dog.
He had a dog.
You but left my, that out of the story.
But my dog is sitting there wagging his tail, like just looking like, up.
Please,
and I'm like,
please pet me.
Yeah, exactly. Like it wasn't like some vicious thing, but and also I want to say, like, letting your dog get out of your gate, like, I get really mad when people do that. That has not happened to me in 20 years.
Well, you didn't let it.
No, but
it just happened.
I did not know he could slip through that, and I should have, but it would have been honestly devastating if something happened
to
him.
You can get one of those collars that has, like, some perpendicular metal rods to stop
He just needs to put on some weight, like me. We're both trying to put on some weight. So
are you?
Get on some, yeah, I would like to. I keep losing weight, even though I'm working hard. So, anyway, that's... I'm telling you right now, this trailer of some version is going on the internet. And if you give a shit about this show, you will tell people and you will say that you like it.
Send a
Even
nickel.
If you're lying,
send
say
a nickel,
you like
we'll,
it.
We'll put it towards the fund.
Because Ted will fucking go to Turkey for some brain transplant if he does not get the proper response. Because his money is just sitting there. Dying a slow death. So anyway,
it was a seed that has been planted, and I will harvest it one day.
Ramble on.
Ramble on.